Respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The date today is the 19th of Muharram 1446. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept us. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim. Let's welcome our guest, and that is Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab, Damat Barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you? All well?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. All well. How's Mufti Saab doing on this morning?
Allah's father, Allah's father. I don't know if you can hear me because I'm hearing you really faintly.
Gee, I think there is a problem when we're contacting guests, but we can hear you. That's what counts. Alhamdulillah. So, Mufti Saab, what are we planning to discuss today?
Well, Alhamdulillah, we are in this month, Muharram, so we were thinking of discussing a few events concerning that, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, Mufti Saab, where's your lecture today before we continue?
No, we have a program in Newcastle, alhamdulillah, Allah's father, Masjid Siddiq, with the father of Karam of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. And how's everything there? Yourself? How's the weather that side, Mawana?
It's still a bit cold, but it's warming up slowly, slowly, alhamdulillah.
No, alhamdulillah, it's also warming up here, with the father and the Karam of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, Mufti Saab,
and hopefully, by the time everyone comes for the Ijtima, it will be warmed, inshallah.
Inshallah. Just share with us the dates again for the Ijtima.
The dates of the Ijtima is this coming month. So we're now in July. So August 9th, 10th, 11th. But I was wondering, you know, Elders told us something so beautiful. They said that the Ijtima started already. So, you know, sometimes when they say that, when you see it for yourself, then you realize, hey, what they're saying is so true. Because they said, no, the 9th is the end of the Ijtima. That's when you know, everything comes to an end, 9th, 10th, 11th. But actually, it starts now. Gee. And the last few days, this is what we're seeing, Hazrat Maulana. It's so amazing. The environment, the new people that are coming, everyone wanting to be part of this khair, this barakah, the environment in the masjid, the environment on the Ijtima, Maidan, everyone participating, irrespective of color, race, background, nationality, love, unity, this understanding, this compassion, this ikram for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an environment of hidayat, an environment of iman. And what a means of hidayat and iman that is, alhamdulillah. And this is what they said, that this is the opportunity. The ijtima comes and goes. Allah give us again. But this opportunity where people are coming is the chance we have to reap this benefit, to make the ikram, to get each other connected to masjid, to make each other's ikram for Allah's pleasure, and to bond the society and the community, alhamdulillah. So what they are telling us, really, we are seeing that, alhamdulillah. May Allah help us reap the benefit for His pleasure, where we can encourage each other and channel each other in Allah's way. And, you know, as being there for the ijtima, seeing different people that we don't normally see, sometimes people that don't even come to the masjid, sometimes people who have a misunderstanding concerning deen, but the ijtima softens the heart so much that everyone wants to be part and parcel of it. And then we remember when our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Masjid al-Nabawi, Madina Munawwara, in Rabi'ul Awwal, and his journey was from Makkah Mukarramah, 3 days in the cave, the last 3 days of Safar, and then Muharram, Rabi'ul Awwal, the first, to the 8th, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak journey, and then he enters Quba on the 8th, and then the next few days is in Quba, where Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established the Masjid of Quba there. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawm ahaqqu an taquma fihi rijal yuhibbuna an yatatahharu. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahabi Itban, who lived in that area, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was with Hazrat Kulthum bin Hidim, radiallahu anhu. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, that Allah praises you all in this cleanliness, this purity. What is this? So they mentioned that we always were taught to clean with water. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, that is the teaching of deen, that when we relieve ourselves, we clean with water. And even in the past, that this community would do that, the Quran praises the people who lived in the environs of Masjid Quba. So wherever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went, he established Masjid first. From Quba on Friday, 12th Rabiul Awwal, our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Madina Munawwara. And subhanAllah, everyone wanted his camel to halt by them. Oh Allah's Nabi, come by us. Oh Allah's Nabi, come by us. And finally, he said to them, leave the reins of the camel, because they, in that enthusiasm and that yearning desire and josh, they all wanted, they were putting the reins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave it. Allah will command the camel where to halt. And he didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so he left the camel. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting on the camel, and finally the camel halted right by the Masjid Nabawi. Empty plot. And it went right in front of the home of Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiallahu anhu. So Masjid Nabawi was the early efforts of Muslims in Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Abu and Hazrat Abu Bakr, they spoke to the owners of that site, and those two young Sahaba, they were orphaned, they wanted to, you know, donate it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused. And this is the beauty of Allah's deen, that see the plight of these children, they are orphaned, they have this, or Abu Bakr will buy it. And Hazrat Abu Bakr paid for the plot of Masjid Nabawi. How great is Allah? What a miraj every one of us should have, that when Allah gives us tawfiq to do for Allah's deen, when is Allah give us tawfiq to be silent about it? Do it quietly. The other is, take it as tawfiq from Allah. Take the opportunity to serve Allah's deen as an opportunity from Allah. That Allah, despite me not deserving to serve your deen, you allowing me, that temperament is very, very special. It's easy to talk it. Allah help us. Allah gives tawfiq to those who do it with heart and soul. From the heart, they do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. And then the construction of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking place. Now imagine what an amazing environment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, he stayed with Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari. But the next few months, among the first efforts was brotherhood. The Sahaba would care for each other, Muhajiri and Ansari. And then another amazing effort took place there was the construction of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine the Sahaba are seeing the Mubarak Nabi of Allah himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being involved in the construction of Masjid Nabawi. Imagine that amazing environment. Every Sahabi was also being part and parcel. Some were collecting, you know, clay, others bricks, others were flattening the ground. Then there was one Sahabi, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed he's very good in mixing the cement or mixing the tar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him do that. He's doing it so well. And everyone was part and parcel of the effort. To such an extent that Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, لَإِنْ قَعَدْنَا وَالنَّبِيُّ يَعْمَلْ لَذَاكَ مِنَّ الْعَمَلُ الْمُضَلَّلْ. How can we sit? Allah's Nabi is serving and involved in this service of the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi. How can we sit? And subhanallah, everyone was part and parcel of this beautiful effort that was constructing the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Then there was a beautiful dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Farham al-ansara wal-muhajira. Oh Allah, there's no life but the life of the akhirah. Allahumma la aisha illa aishu al-akhirah. There's only the akhirah life. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ وَفَرْحَمِ الْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ Oh Allah, shower your mercies and your blessings upon the Ansar and the Muhajireen. And as the Sahaba, and they were rendering this, Allahumma la aisha illa aishu al-akhirah, فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ فَرْحَمِ الْأَنْصَارَ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ. And then also they were saying, هذا الحمال لا حمال خيبرا هذا أبر ربنا وأطهرا. This is the best load. So Sahaba picking up loads and clearing out the ground and working on the ground of Masjid al-Nabawi, and they saying, this is the best loads, not the loads of Khaybar. Khaybar, they only worried about valuable things of this world. To carry the load for Allah's deen is the best load. This is more righteous and this is pure. And everyone was involved. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum were actually saying that لا يستوي من يعمر المساجد يدأب فيها قائما وقاعدا ومن يرى عن التراب حائدا. So just to encourage each other, how can the one who's busy involved in the construction of and then the word also is building the masjid, but يعمر المساجد is to build, يدعبوا فيها, exerting themselves, standing and sitting. So it can refer to ibadah also, which is also important, bringing alive the masjid with ibadah and the amal of the masjid. But in this context, it was said during the construction of the masjid. So it also refers to physically being involved in the construction of the masjid. So one who is involved and he's laboring and he's serving for Allah, how can he be same? Or how can the other be same like him? Who's the other? The one who stays one side and he doesn't want to be soiled in the dust. وَمَنْ يُرَى عَنِ التُرَابِ حَائِدًا. So what an amazing lesson it is for us to be able to do humble things for Allah. To be able to, subhanAllah, sometimes we notice in the construction, for example, somebody is busy doing cement, mixing cement and to laying the bricks. Here, through the ijtima, it's an opportunity for us to also, there's brothers here who come from the markas, and they come and put up the toilets, put up, you know, the scaffolding, and they're putting up different aspects, and they give anyone an opportunity to make khidmah. Every part of khidmah, whether khidmah cleaning the grounds, khidmah cleaning the pots, khidmah helping in preparing the toilets. What an amazing opportunity it is for anyone to quietly be part and parcel of this. So alhamdulillah, just doing, being, seeing everyone is an opportunity to remember Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where we get these opportunities normally we just see the builders do it and we just supervise. But here, through the barakat of the ijtima, Allah gives anyone who wants an opportunity to do the same. Alhamdulillah. So that's really nice. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. And it's true, Mufti Saab. The environment there, the ijtima, is something else. And personally, our own lives change through these ijtimas. I'll just share. I don't know, Mufti Saab, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Check. I can hear you quite better.
So it was, we were going to just like university and all of this here. And then my father said, why don't you just go to the ijtima? It was here in Meyas Farm. And yeah. I don't know if Mufti Saab remembers that year where all those explosions took place. Few cars exploded because someone threw a
cigarette. Yeah, I remember that ijtima.
It was that very same ijtima. So my father said, why don't you just go? And he's part of the sound because he knows about sound. So he said, you go, you assist, you can rub shoulders. These were his exact words, I remember. He said, you can rub shoulders with the elders, with the seniors, and maybe, who knows, it will spark some change or something. So he said, so I said, but I don't know much about sound. So he said, no, just you'll just have to put the mics right for them and we'll teach you everything. Don't worry. So I said, okay. So we went, and then we had to stand there in front and everything. And Allah forgive me, I say this just with great burn in my heart, and this is because we're not proud of those things. But I didn't have a beard then. So I was there, I remember it was Jummah time, and the speaker, he was, I can't remember who was the speaker, but from a foreign country, one of our elders, and he was there. As I was coming forward to put the mic, then he said, no, call one of the khadims. And then again for Salah, and during all of this, Mufti Saab, we're hearing all these explosions taking place and everything. Again, Salah time, and we're on the stage there so everyone can see. So again, I'm going forward to put the mic. He pushed me away. He said, no, my khadim must do it. He said in Urdu. So I felt a bit hurt about this. But then I realized afterwards, many years later, that there was hikmah in it. That sometimes our seniors, they doing something for a particular reason, but those du'as that come afterwards, that's what you take home with you. So maybe that initial instance was harsh and you can't understand it, but that's what we say to many, many people today. They say, why our seniors? But there's hikmah in it. And when you just follow and you just say, you know what, Allah will grant some goodness in it, then later you'll realize it. So I went home and I started pondering what was the reason for this now. And it was pretty embarrassing also. But then I realized probably it's because I didn't have a beard. And subhanAllah, thereafter, the beard grew. And thereafter, alhamdulillah, tawfiq of Allah, then we went for IPB. That time there was no differences. So we saw all of this India. We saw all the markas, everything in its proper when there was no all unity and everything. and then you come back today, I can't picture myself without a beard. You can't look at someone without a beard, because whose beard grows generally, you think to yourself, how can you be a lioness? You need that beard, you need that to be have that mane. That was Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the king of the Ummah, he had a mane. So he had a beard. Why are we shying away from this here? So I'm just saying that spark was from the ijtima. And from there, alhamdulillah, we saw the Tongi Ijtima. That was something amazing. 2.5 million people on one weekend. And Mufti Saab, I'm not sure, have you been for the Tongi Ijtima? I'm sure you've been previously.
I've been for the Raiwind Ijtima. The Tongi Ijtima, we missed it. We went to Bangladesh, but we missed the Ijtima.
Gee, there's something, one amazing feature they had there. Maybe Mufti Saab can include it here at the Newcastle Ijtima, inshallah. So they had one tea corner. And this 24 hours, so you're meeting different people from different areas, different countries, and they serve the Suleimani tea 24 hours. It's a big jug, steel jug in the middle, and you sit around. And the only objective, you sit there. Sometimes one day we sit till 2 o'clock, and we're speaking to someone who doesn't understand English. But we understand, because you're speaking about the greatness of Allah. So that was a really, and I remember there was one revert, he told me how he changed, and what difficulties he went through. His family wanted to kill him because he accepted Islam. And so this is all part of the Ijtima spirit, and may Allah Azza wa Jal grant it the total success. As you said, Mufti Saab, for us, that's our short vision, my short vision. It starts on the 9th. But that's when it actually ends, because now we're seeing the people who are coming in, the efforts of it. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept it and grant it the success.
I mean, so true. So many people we've met, Mawlana, who say that deen came into them when they attended the early Ijtima days. So many people were on their way to either, Allah knows, you know, this clubbing with their friends. And they just said, okay, we'll attend the Friday Jumu'ah at the Ijtima. Such a large crowd, we'll get that amazing environment and blessing. And just that one day became a means of them spending the full time, and they changed their lives. We were in Jamaat last week out. So our Mesad appointed one of the brothers to give the talk. He's a friend of mine from Uganda. So he gave this talk, and he was saying that him as a young man was in Uganda, and there was the Ijtima taking place. So a friend of his was meeting up with some other friends. So they were normally to get together, and they would take some drugs, some dakha, smoke, and they would, play cards, play dice. And the friends would normally meet up, and it so happened that it was the Ijtima. So this one man who doesn't know anything about the Ijtima, the young man, he goes to normally where they hang out, and his other friends are not there. So he gets upset. We normally meet here. They're supposed to be here. Where are they? So he goes to their houses. The families tell him that they've gone to the Ijtima. Anyway, he's very upset now. Why are they going to the Ijtima? What is this? We're supposed to be meeting up here. Anyway, he goes to the Ijtima just to find them. And as he goes to the Ijtima, he is looking for them high and low. And as he's looking for them, this amazing talk of Iman and Yaqeen is taking place. That everything is from Allah. And nothing happens without Allah. And Allah has sent us to this world for a very, very short period of time. And we all have to make right with Allah. Because when we die, then we'll regret. And Allah has given us this opportunity in this world to make a difference and make a change. And when we go, we can never, ever come back. And anyway, as they're speaking, that Allah, what Allah has created us for, the purpose of our creation, the purpose of our life in this world. And as they're saying this, he's looking for his friends, but these words are going into his ears. And he's thinking, Ya Allah, so true. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I did so much of wrong. Ya Allah, how bad have I been? And while he's looking for them here and there, he's hearing these words. You know, in the Ijtima, there's these stalls. He goes straight to a stall. He buys one kurta or whatever sunnat, you know, a topi. Imam, he buys that topi. And he puts it on, and he's on his way for the program. And while he had changed, he already put his kurta, he was wearing sunnat, and he's on his way for the program. And there he meets his friends there also at the Ijtima. The way he hugged them. And now they're not going back to take dakha or sit and play dice and cards. They all changed their lives in 4 months in Allah.
Mufti Saab.
So it's such an amazing environment it is to bring one person to this environment.
Mufti
and
Saab,
this is what every one of us can do, respected Ummah. Every Friday we have this opportunity. We go to work. We have staff. We have neighbors. We have friends. And what we should do, make the ikram at our work and give them an invite to Islam. Our friends for so many years, tell him, come, I show you what the deen is about. And subhanAllah, the ijtima, they're so well accommodated. They know, they actually have planned everything. They even appoint a jamaat to go to every door. Because where the ijtima is, there's a lot of non-Muslims staying around there, right? So they appointed a few to go there with a little letter, some sweets, some ikram, and politely meet that non-Muslim and apologize beforehand. Imagine how wise our elders. They even planned that out. Because even though no one is allowed to park on anybody's lawn, nobody is allowed to inconvenience anybody, but there's going to be thousands of people. Somebody might be inconvenienced. So beforehand, they apologize to that person that, forgive us, we're expecting, you know, such a program like this and so many thousand people. Please forgive us for any inconveniences. If anyone does such and such or harms you in any way, please phone this number. But what an amazing practice. Because in deen, we're not supposed to cause takleef to anyone. And then something else amazing, yesterday a Palestine Jamaat also came. So such an amazing opportunity that was. Of students, alhamdulillah, but so beautiful to be in their company or to translate for them or to hear them. Simple words of Quran and Sunnah and Yaqeen and Dawat, but it penetrates the heart to see these young men striving for Allah, for the love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of our asatidah also saw such a beautiful dream. He said, with 2 days ago, he says, everyone was eating there. He says, I saw this dream that what an amazing dastarkhan, and everyone was getting. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also there, and he also took sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this pious, righteous ustad, who didn't allow me to take his name, said that this is a sign of Allah's special tawajjuh, Allah's special mercies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, alhamdulillah. But as they were telling us, the ijtima has started, alhamdulillah. And every one of us as Muslims, let's make a difference in this world, because we don't know how long we're going to be around here, respected Ummah. We could leave this world at any time. And in the Quran, chapter 63 of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Never let your wealth nor your children avert you from Allah's dhikr and Allah's deen. And then the verse continues, because then when we're leaving this world and we let anything take us away from our goal and purpose, we will beg Allah to send us back to the world. And we'll say, Allah, if you send me back, فَأَصَّدَّقْ, I'll give more for you. فَأَصَّدَّقْ, I'll contribute for your deen. But as-saddaq is not confined to monetary value. It means, yes, Allah, I'll give my monetary wealth for you, but it also means, Allah, I'll give my time for you. I'll give my honor for you. I'll give my position, my status, that what you have blessed me with, I now realize it's from you. I'll use it for you. There was a great sahabi who was emotional one night, because everyone he saw in the masjid the previous day during the Tabuk distribution and contributions, he didn't have nothing to give. So he cried that night. And the next day, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who was the one who gave that special contribution for Allah? Who was the one who gave that special contribution for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah's Nabi said it was the Sahabi Ulba. Remember the Sahabi's name, Ulba. He had nothing to give and he cried. He said, Allah, I give my honor for you. If anyone dishonored me, if anyone, you know, usurped my rights, or, you know, backbited against me, Ya Allah, I forgive him for your sake, for your pleasure. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Sahabi gave something so special for Allah. So there's so much to do for Allah. There's so many opportunities. If somebody is doing something, alhamdulillah, make shukr, make dua for him. Let's do something also. There's so many things we can do. Alhamdulillah. And let's have a big heart. Let's have a big heart. Let's bring the ummah together. Alhamdulillah. And I must say, in our community here, the apas from the houses, the way they are making sacrifice and qurbani, Ya Allah. Probably that, Allah knows if that dream is an indication to the acceptance of, because you know, I'm remembering not long ago in Newcastle. Newcastle is a beautiful town. But there was, you know, every time Jamaats come, Alhamdulillah, the Satis used to make a fikr and make ikram of the Jamaat and so forth. And then our Satis, sometimes they get old, and then Allah Ta'ala then brings younger. That's why we request the youth, join the elderly and do the work. The elderly accommodate the young, and the young respect the elderly and so forth. But then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave our sisters tawfiq, where they now, on their own, made their own list that who's going to now cook for these Jamaats. Now, subhanAllah, there's a list. Any lady who phones in to the ladies responsible wanting to cook for the Jamaat, actually, that lady, that appa can't get a chance now because there's such a list everyone wants to do. And actually, the ladies are doing more than the men. And then the last few Jamaats we had, what an amazing Jamaat here from Roshni, Ya Allah. Allah reward our wonderful elders. Then, subhanAllah, the ladies are sending their men to take the food, and then they're also telling the men folk, bring back the pots. So in that, sometimes that man had never ever been with the Jamaat before in his life. But now he's coming, and he's giving the food, and he's, because actually, when we feed a Jamaat, it's not right, respected listeners, we just go there and leave the food. No, these are not beggars. These are Allah's people. Many of them are eating, can afford much better than that. But they yearn for Allah. When we present for Allah, we have to put it with ishtiyaji that Allah, this is my need that your guests are accepting from me. So take the food, sit with the people out in Allah's way. Sometimes they're young. Sometimes maybe they don't know certain etiquettes and stuff, but they're coming out in Allah's way to learn. We should be tolerating them. We should be kind to them. We should be forgiving. Not every person who comes out in the path of Allah is the highest level of buzruk. A person is coming out in the path of Allah to learn and become a better human being. That's why even the people who are trustees of the masjids, remember, sometimes the Jamaat might make a mistake. Remember, this Jamaat, beautiful work, is a washing machine. Everyone can come. Nobody tells, the Jamaat doesn't go check every person and say, no, you can't come because of this. No, they take everyone. And how they are trying. And who's going to make effort on our children tomorrow? Allah forbid our children go astray. Allah forbid. Who will go to them, take them out, spend time on them, spend on them from their own pockets, sit with them in the masjid, console them, inspire them, encourage them. And many of those children who went out with our Jamaats later on become hafiz, become alim, become great, pious, righteous people. But where it started? It started with those 3-4 days in Allah's way. Let us not forget where it started. Let us not forget the knock on the door. Some time ago, our father's door, our grandfather's door was knocked by those satis who took their time, who left their families, who left their children and went to knock one person's door to bring one person back to Allah. What a work, what a work. Allah give us all tawfiq to be part and parcel.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan for that inspirational reminder. Allah Azza wa Jalla accept us all.